Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the creme de la creme, the ultimate drip, the cherry on top, the icing on the cake, the whole cake. I'm the table where the cake is chilling, and I'm definitely the tires where the table, the cake, the icing, and the cherry on top are chilling. How about that? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about that violence. So we are violently talking about violent things so that we can violently come to an amicable solution. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our teenagers and their rebellious stage. So when we talk about teenage rebellion, right, I'm thinking of young people throwing hands. I'm thinking of young people throwing hands. I'm thinking of young people, you know, insulting you back, you know, talk back, chatting back, talking back. I'm thinking of young people saying like, yeah, we don't want to listen to you because, I mean, like, you don't have it in your life. So why do you have the power to come and control mine? I'm thinking of a disrespect of the highest order. Yes, that's what I'm thinking of. And then also I'm just thinking of, teenagers, doing whatever they want to do and they claim that it is their right. That's the idea that I have when somebody says teenage rebellion, right? That's the image that I have. But sometimes we also have to think about the fact that, rebellion doesn't always look like that. It doesn't always look like slamming of doors and pushing fathers, because fathers, I believe fathers' parenting style is the same everywhere. I think that they all come with strength. They all come with strength. They all come in, ha, 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 ha. They all come in that, hey, 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 hey. They all come in that, because once upon a time when the children were babies or younger then, they were intimidated by father's voice. It's not that father beats. It's not that father is aggressive. It's not that father is intimidating in any way. It's not even that father is violent. It is just the fact that he is deemed to be father and he is a respectable member of this particular clan, because this particular clan is led by this particular father. So when we look at the male role models that we've had over the years, we've always had a sense of love and a sense of fear towards them because they were the authority. So that is the reason that I believe that most men try and discipline children with strong arming. They try and take up their dominance with strength. And I understand, because men don't really like to dabble on the emotional side. They don't really like to accommodate emotions. And it's not that they don't have them. It's not that they don't feel them. It's just that it is a tedious act. It is a redundant act. It is something that takes long. For them, it's like, oh, I just don't have the time to be listening to somebody telling me, I just feel like, and I feel like that is what fathers have. They don't have that kind of patience and tolerance, because with mother, she can throw a gasket right now and then also still have a conversation with you about your emotions and about your feelings and about what actually went down, instead of just assuming that it went a particular way. And she has the ear and she has the heart to listen to you. And even if she doesn't listen to you, there is a sense of listening even within her speech. But with fathers, it's just a whole, no, don't do that. No. Stop, you know, and that's how it goes. That's strictly how it goes. And now when the teenager grows, we still want to apply the same principle. We still want to apply the same principle. We still want to apply the same pressure. We still want to apply the same sense of dominance. But then, especially with the boy child, right? The boy child has his own hormones that are coming up. He has his own chest hair that's coming up and armpit hair. He has his little mustache thing that's going on there. And he's also growing into manhood. So the reason that the boy child rebels against the father is because, he's present. He's present. He can see and he knows. And also that does not scare me anymore, because at some point you get tired of it. First of all, at first you were afraid. That's why they say that, within child psychology, right? You tell a child once, Only. You don't repeat yourself 10 times. You tell a child once, and if the child is not comprehending, then you automatically, the second time is an automatic response of the consequence of not listening the first time. And that is how we are generally supposed to have to have that sense of discipline. We're only supposed to speak once, but many of us speak more than once, and then later on it gets lost in translation. So that speaking once only is really applicable to your child if you enforce it from a tender age. Like, I only speak once, and the second time is consequences. Consequences doesn't have to be brutal. It doesn't have to be violent. It can just really honestly just be consequences. It can be consequences. So you can make up the consequences as you go. You're the child's parent. You know what affects them. So you can either have a sit down, or you can now dish out the consequences that, you know what? I told you to rake the yard. And you didn't listen. But also, when we talk, we must remember that it must be clear, and we must make sure that the person that we are telling actually can hear us, knows that we are giving a direct order. It's not an ax. It's not a query. It's not an ax, please. It is a direct order. It's a command. So we must make sure that this person can see and hear what we are saying. So if I'm saying clean the yard, it is not, is it possible for you to maybe, when you are not busy, it is supposed to be, Samson, clean the yard today. I want this yard cleaned today. I want you to clean the yard today. That's a direct order. Now, if you're Ndoa and you say, like, I was wondering, perhaps, maybe, then it's an ax, right? And then you find Samson and he didn't finish, or he didn't even start with the yard yet. Because, why? Because it made it seem like it's an option, right? Uh-huh. So there. So now this child grows, and then he's thinking, yeah, but I know my dad, and, I'm getting tired of it. So if you have a dad that's always, you know, and he's always, it later on seems like he's trying to force his dominance upon you. And you are also growing into dominance as a young man. You're growing into dominance. So it's later on, it's the battle of the bulls. Which, yeah, no, but you cannot just be giving me commands. You must ask me nicely. All of a sudden they want to be asked nicely. And that's where you're supposed to change the approach. And then you just ask nicely. And then if it's asked nicely, and it's not done, then we dish out consequences. So later on, you guys are having the battle of the men in the household, because now it's answering each other. It's back and forth. It's what. And that's where you say, my child is a rebel. He's a rebellious.
From sunrise to supper time, Namib Mills is there, feeding the nation with care, quality, and heart.
We believe food is more than nourishment. It's dignity. It's hope. It's the start of a better tomorrow.
Through sustainable production processes, job creation, and affordable, nutritious food, Namib Mills is driving economic growth one plate at a time. Because when we say feeding the nation,
we mean uplifting lives,
empowering communities, and building a future where no one is left behind.
Namib Mills, proudly Namibian,
passionately feeding the nation. Namib Mills,
feeding the nation. Dear listener, the following.
Alrighty, so here we are, and we are having our teenagers that are just trying to rebel, and they're trying to do things. And by the way, today is the 12th of the 9th month, 2025. It is a Friday evening, and you're chilling with the matriarch. Please. And we are here, we are live. And even in case you wanted to contribute to our conversation, the number in studio is 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401. So picture this. So now you have the son that is now having the battle of the sexes with the father. And it's just crr, 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 crr. There's just, they don't see eye to eye. And if, nobody wants that, because then there's too much tension in the house and everybody's walking on eggshells. And that's what happens with an aggressive dad or a dad that wants to be firm. And the child is just like him. So they say that, our wildest dreams as ancestors, right, is to generate a seed that is identical to us in any way. Identical to us in any way could be in character, it could be in personality, it could be in visuals, it could be in step, it could be in thinking, it could be in mannerism, it could be in anything. That's the wildest dream. For you to come, for you to reincarnate, even though there's a mixture of somebody else's DNA, right, is magic. And that magic is now a magic that most of us are living with. And we appreciate it the first couple of years when baby comes and baby looks like us and baby sleeps like us and baby talks like us and baby is, aww, baby is baby. But then we tend to start not appreciating it when baby is just like us and baby is not a baby anymore. So what do I mean by that is when your child inherits the bad traits that you possess. Your bad traits, your child has it. Like how? Eh? You are a person that you are shunamonima, you don't go backwards. You don't go backwards, you don't back down on a fight, you must have the last word in everything. And then you give birth to a mini you that also doesn't give the back down. Ha! It's nice when it's happening to other people. It's nice when the child is not backing down to others at school. It's nice when the child is not backing down to others like in life when they are being bullied. But what happens when your child is the bully? What happens when your child is now having the same character or personality inside your house? So you don't back down, and then your child is not backing down, and then it's the clash of the personalities, it's the clash of character. And you now come to a point where, yeah, I'm your father, you must listen to me. Like, and the child turns around and says, yeah, but I'm your son, you must listen to me. Because how? Why must I back down? And then now you're stuck with a mini you. My mom always used to say that, I don't wish anything bad upon you. I just wish you to have children that are just like you. Yeah, just like you. I want you to have children that are just like you. The good and the bad, I want you to have children just like you. And for a person that is inquisitive, for a person that is talkative, I gave birth to a gang of children that are inquisitive and talkative. And now in my reality right now, part of my routine at least once or twice a week is to run away from my kids, because my kids always have questions. Like I don't know. Like every single day there's just questions and conversation. And I talk for a living. In my other job, I talk. And then here I talk. I talk for a living. I talk all the time. So I enjoy silence. I enjoy quiet time. I enjoy times where I'm not talking. But if you are having mini yous that are constantly talking to you, what are you going to do about it? Tell them to keep quiet. And then you shut down their personality. Tell them to keep quiet. And then you are the topic on a psychologist's couch one day. No. So you allow, but it becomes a lot. And I finally understood now, because I'm like, yo, maybe it's because my mom has lived with me for such a long time that she is absolutely accustomed to my son. My son is 10 and he talks like a person at Rogorisheno. Even in his sleep, he's talking. And he's talking and he's talking and his grandmother enjoys it. And I'm guessing it's because she learned most now from the best. It's because she learned from the best and she has lived with it for 34 years. So it is what it is. She's used to it. 3 decades is not a joke, you know, and going to your fourth, it's not a joke. So I guess she's used to it. But for me, I'm just getting accustomed to it. It's been 10 years and I'm like, yo, like, sure. 8 more years and he's going to hostel, to varsity or something. Woo. Because, whoa. Anyhow, anywho. And that's what happens with the clash of the boys. And then with the boy child and the father, for example, the boy child, the girl child and the father, usually what I've seen is, there's the daddy complex, right? My daughter cannot do any wrong. So even if she does wrong, it seems like the fathers are more lenient towards daughters. It's like they have a better level of understanding as long as it's not, to do with the opposite gender. So if the daughter is coming in late, the father would appreciate it if you, mother dearest, were the one to address it instead. If you were the one to check there, if you were the one to be talking, if you were the bad cop. And I've noticed this even within my own relationship that, men don't want to be the bad guy. Men want to be the good guy in parenting. They want to be the cool one always. So you are the one that sees everything wrong, or they see everything wrong and they come to report to you, and then you must address it with the whole entire household. And it looks good on paper, you know, it looks good when it's like, oh, mom is handling it. But to be honest, you are just seen as a villain. Like, dad never sees these things, but mom though. Marakanti, it's not mom that sees it. Mom doesn't even see anything. Mom is told what is being done, and mom is told to also address it. And now we are stuck in a situation where mother is the only one that's addressing it. And this is the reality of it. But it's not the same in every household. Sometimes the bad cop is the dad, and sometimes there are no bad cops. Sometimes they're just good cops. And then sometimes you just have two bad cops that are just on the ground and they are running with it. But parenting styles are different. So when we're talking about a teenage rebellion, and also addressing now a mother dearest and the daughter, it is similar to, it's similar to the relationship between father and son, right? Because the teenage daughter is also growing into a woman, and you, mother dearest, are a woman just like me. And so I believe that you can't just be strong arming me, and you can't just be doing this, because I'm a woman as well. And that is where the clash comes in, you know. And with father dearest, father is very lenient, and even when he's not lenient, he's too harsh. And too harsh also pushes the teenager apparently away. I don't know. I've never really pictured it. The only thing that I've noticed was in teenage rebellion was not even with myself, it was with my younger sister. My younger sister has had mood swings. Her whole teenagehood was just filled with mood swings. It's like we were treading on thin waters there. We were treading on eggshells there in the household, because she was moody, 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 always angry. We called her like Angry Bird at some point, because she was always angry. And it was slamming of doors, it was stomping of feet, and that was her thing. So teenage rebellion is a normal part of adolescence, where individuals seek independence, question authority. Questioning authority is not wrong, because many adults don't want to be questioned, and it is human nature to question those that are leading us. Even we question those that are leading us. We are watching the ARA have fights there in Pala. We are watching, and it's because they're asking questions, right? And asking questions from the authorities is not bad. It's more about we as authority have a tendency of seeing everything as disrespect. And in that seeing everything as disrespect is exactly where we never get to a solution. We never get to a conclusion when it comes to the questions that are actually being raised, because we are so adamant on you must be respectful. We tend to hear past, we tend to listen past the question and listen to the tone and listen to the demeanor instead, but we don't understand that the demeanor and the tone are caused by frustration of what we are inquiring about. And we now want to address the disrespect. We want to address the tone. We want to address the demeanor, but we don't want to address the question at hand. And it leaves the question still unanswered and still pondering. And nothing is done about it, because we are now focused on other things. You are busy trying to teach me manners, but you are not addressing the thing that that I'm asking about. If you had addressed the thing that I'm asking about, then I would also have better manners, because I'm speaking from a point of frustration. I'm speaking from an inquisitive place, and I'm also speaking from a place of not understanding something. So if I don't understand something, I need to question the authority. So why are you saying that we must do this, and why are you saying that we must do that when you don't hold up the same principles? You understand what I mean? So that is why they ask questions. And when they don't ask questions and they go ahead and they do whatever they want, it is because they often see it as it should be like this and it shouldn't be like that, and I'm going to go ahead and do what I would like to do, because it's not like anybody has any idea what's happening anyway. And also it is a normal part of adolescence where individuals seek independence. We want freedom. We want independence. We want independence to choose, independence to be, independence to exist, independence to wear, independence, independence, independence. And also we question authorities, and also, we establish our own identity, separated from the parents and the family. That's why you can find a family taking a picture, and then there's one that just looks out because they want to be individuals. And individuality is beautiful. Individuality is beautiful. It's just not, it's not real individuality, because individuality would be you being singled out and you being unique. But as long as we are human beings, we are all unique. And the fact that we are all unique is what makes us less unique, because it is normal to be special. It is normal to be special because we are all special. So it is not, you are not standing outside of the box. And I'm telling the teenagers this, right? Because you are not standing outside of the box for being outside of the box, because outside of the box, there are other people. These other people that are also outside of the box, they are also just existing outside of the box. So how normal is this abnormal that you are claiming to be your now normal? It's not. It involves behaviors like, it involves behaviors like non-conformity, rule breaking, and increased focus on peer relationships. So most of us tend to turn to our friends instead of our family, instead of our parents, because our peers understand what we are going through, because they are most probably going through the same thing. It's like having a common denominator. Have you ever wondered why cuckoo is loved so much? Grandfather, grandmother is loved so much by grandchild or grandchildren. It is because they both have a common enemy, and the common enemy is you. Your child is not a fan of your parenting skills, and your parents are not a fan of your parenting skills. So they come together and they complot, or they exist within their ideas of you together. And usually when you leave the space, now that bond cannot easily be broken. It's not like with friends. It cannot easily be broken. But when you leave the space, then they now start to see each other as they truly are in their own form. And that's why they start having their own conflict. It's just the same as, three sets of, friends, right? We'll continue.
At my age, you start appreciating things you might have taken for granted before, like good health. I've known from early on that donating blood regularly was indeed good for my health. I'm too old now, but I've done my part in saving hundreds of lives while benefiting my own. You see, my risk of a heart attack, stroke, and cancer was always low because I donated blood.
Call NHP on 061-285-5400. We're about you.
That iconic taste of Heineken, loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken, loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
All right. It's just the same as having three friends, right? Have you ever noticed that in a friendship of three, there are two that are extremely close and then the other one is not as close as the other two? It is because you are the common denominator. If you are the third one, right, and you feel like a third wheel, it's because you are the common denominator. It's just the same as people that work together. For example, people that work together, they have a tendency of all being against the one authority. It could be the boss even. So two of you guys are having a complot and two of you guys are having disagreements in terms of, not disagreements, but you guys all hate the boss. You hate the boss and you guys are not a fan of the boss and you just don't like the boss and, right? So you guys, friendship is built, your relationship is built on not liking the boss. Now, when you don't like the boss, you have so much to talk about. You have so much to talk about. You have so much to see. You have so much to go on about. You have so much to say, actually. And your relationship never runs dry when it comes to conversations and stuff because you guys are talking about the boss. But what happens when one of you guys are fired? When one of you guys are fired, it's as if the friendship that you guys had forged never existed. That is why they say things like, your colleagues are not your friends. And I think that it comes from that theory because if your colleagues were your friends, then after one resigns or after one is fired or you guys would still maintain a healthy friendship. A healthy friendship is seeing each other, regularly. It is talking to one another. It is going through life together. But why does it all go away, right? When one is not working there, then that means that the friendship in itself was not true and it was not real. But moving forward. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about teenage rebellion because I feel that we have a different outlook towards teenagers. Everybody is terrified, when it comes to teenagers because they are known to be difficult. All of us get babies and we hope that our babies stay babies forever and then they grow. We all think about the beginning stage and the adult stage, but we don't really think about the in-betweeners when the children are being difficult because we don't want to imagine that, but it happens, right? And yesterday I had a conversation with one of my people, or a lady, and she was complaining about her 16-year-old daughter that is bringing boys into the house, and she's basically setting a bad example for the younger sister, and she's basically she's not a good example or good role model towards others. And also anything could happen. There could be disease. There could be stolen property. There could be pregnancy. There could be anything that could happen, you know, with this young man there. And especially considering, that their age gap is not that far apart, but it's still an age gap that is questionable because she is 16. And he is 19. And when I say 16, I'm talking about 15 turning 16 kind of vibes. And he is 19. He's already 19. So he's already an adult, you know, something like it could be bad, you know, consequential rape charges, what. It could be like that, but they are not choosing to go that route. They just want the daughter to basically listen. And listening is now a difficult thing, especially when you have made something a song where you have been repeating yourself and repeating yourself and repeating yourself and repeating yourself and repeating yourself to a point that it just becomes a song that I know the words and I know exactly what you're going to say. And I'm not going to listen to you because you've said it so many times. That's why we say that to discipline a child, you must speak once in order for the child to hear you and mold that principle into them that I only speak once and the second time is a consequence. I will make sure that you can hear me loud and clear and it's not lost in translation. So we are talking about this because I want to see or I want to hear from the perspective of those that have immaculate children, because we think that good teenagers are a mythical creature. We think that they don't exist, but they do. There are people that have never had difficulties with their teenagers at all. And their teenagers just grow up to be good adults, and that's just what their lives, that's just the blessing that God gave them. And then you find you that is having difficulty with this child, and every day or shitty, you are just troubled. What is the difference? I think that also one thing that we must look at when it comes to the teens, right, is who we are as people in front of them. And hear me out, right? If you as an adult, you see a stranger, and this stranger is always drunk, always falling over and doing extremely embarrassing things. You are driving past Bain's and you see this stranger is sitting there at the shops and they are drinking. They are drinking, they are ashy, and they are somebody that you should respect. But now, because they don't respect themselves, right? It's difficult to respect somebody that doesn't respect themselves either. So where am I getting to this? I think that many of us have done so many disrespectful things towards ourselves, things that made us question our dignity, made us question our ethics and our principles, right? We have lied, we have stolen, we have robbed, we have been inappropriate even to some degree. And it has all been done in the eyes of our children. So along the way, right, just the same way as you lost respect over that guy that looks like a boomy, it's the same way that our children lose respect for us. They lose respect for us because we don't have respect for ourselves. And we are forcing them to have respect for us, but we don't display self-respect. And I feel that that is one of the reasons that our children find it difficult to respect us, because one, how can I be respecting you, father dearest, when you beat mother? A small, quiet little lady that's always home. You come back from your things, you're from your drinking and what, and then you come and beat mother. How am I supposed to respect you? I can't respect you. Like, for what? Like, you beat innocent people. Like, that's not an act of dignity. That is not self-respect. You come and create arguments here. That's not self-respect. If you want to drink your things, you can drink your things. If you want to enjoy your life, you can enjoy your life, but come into the house quietly to respect other people's time, to respect other people's existence within the space that you guys are all sharing. So now you come and you are falling over. You have peed yourself. You are grown up. You are so old, and we are watching you with your beard and you with your gray hair. We are watching you stumble and fall over, and you still want to come and cause a fight. How am I supposed to respect that if you clearly don't respect yourself? How am I supposed to respect a woman that is dressed like a 15-year-old? And you are forcing me to respect you when I, the 15-year-old, I even dress better than you. And you are dressed like a child. How am I supposed to respect you? Our dressing, our mannerism, our behavior, what we say, our choice of speech, everything is being looked at, because children come into the world as empty canvases. They come into the world as empty canvases, and we as adults that shape their community and society are the ones that paint, and we now paint these pictures of undignified and disrespectful and lack self-confidence, and we lack in so many areas. And that's why I think that it is imperative for us to first evaluate ourselves mentally, emotionally, physically, financially, so that when we do decide to bring other people into this mess of a world that we are in, right, at least in that time we can say that you are ready. I think that family planning is essential. so that we don't have children pop up while we are in our worst era, while we are in our worst season, while we are in our worst struggle in our life. And I know that some of you people's children are mistakes. I get it. I know, but I don't think that children could possibly be a mistake, because that is the result. That is the result of coitus. And even if you say that, yeah, but I was on birth control, but it didn't work. Or I took a morning after pill, but it didn't work. But that is the consequence of coitus. So we are saying that to plan children is better than you having unplanned children and you are clearly not ready, but it's happening, my dear. It's not waiting for you. It's happening right now in real time. You're going to be a parent. So you must just buckle up and run with it. Many of us grow with our children. The me I am today is not the me I was 10 years ago. The me I am today is not the me I was 3 years ago. Hence the saying of you don't know who you are until, right, you can summarize it in the face of God and then give back the summary and say, this is who I have been. You have an idea or a glimpse of what you are and what you want to be and what you aspire to be, but the story is not done writing. And the story is not done being composed and compiled. I saw a post today, that said that, they hurt you. And this was a woman, eh? She said that they hurt you. You go back into your shell, you break down, you heal. You hurt them, they commit suicide. Like you. The imbalance there. Like, yeah, ah, ah. But anyways, going back. Driven by, so it involves behaviors like nonconformity, rule breaking, and increased focus on peer relationships. Driven by a desire for anatomy and self-discovery. While challenging for parents, this phase can be navigated by maintaining open communication, setting respectful boundaries, understanding the teen perspective, and seeking professional support if need be. So let's go to, right, navigating through communication. Navigating your communication. Now, I know for a fact that if you are from a black household, the saying has come up at least once in your life where I don't talk to children. I don't have conversations with children. It has come up, right? But I think that that is a narrative that we have to change. Many of us want to have positive conversations with our children. We want to have only nice conversations where we are basically not even having conversations with our children. We are spying on our children to know that whatever they are doing there in their lives is actually good, and it's actually what you want them to do, and they are living the lives that you want them to live. Many of us want to live through our children. So when we give birth to our children, just because you are not a lawyer, you look at your child, kucha, this is going to be my lawyer. Eh? This is what you want for your child. But your child comes into the world thinking, kucha, me, I want to be a carpenter. Or it's my destiny to be a carpenter. But now you chisel and you drill and you drill and you drill and you drill. And we never truly understand the children, because we don't have an understanding of what it means to have communication. We also don't have a sense of vulnerability. Many of us are not vulnerable with our children. We don't show our children emotion. We don't talk about our emotions. We don't dwell on it in terms of, let me express how I feel and how this makes me feel, and you express and I also understand. Parents have this thing of you must understand that this that you're doing is hurting me, and I'm the only important thing. I think that children and parents are the biggest narcissists that one can find, because everything is about them.
Thank you. Want to treat your school kids during their short break? Tiffany Happy Break Chocolate Bar, $4.99. One pack Tiffany Cream Biscuits, $6.99. 125 grams U Brand Potato Chips, a bag-in at $16.99. Any two packets of Finny Sweets, just $24.99. And 2 liters Oros Concentrate, only $36.99. You save your low-budget grocery store where good food costs less.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. So let's dive into the conversation around vulnerability. How many of us want to show our children our weak side? And I know that we look at our children like they must look up to us, and we are the superstars here. And we're not just superstars. We're superhuman. We are supernatural. We are super amazing. We are supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. We are bombastic. We are nice things. We are heroes, right? We are heroes. We are mentors. We are molders. We are great. And we don't show our children vulnerability. We don't show them that, hey, you're having a human experience, lovey, and it is absolutely normal. And that is why they can say things like, my dad doesn't understand me, or my mom doesn't understand me. My mom would never. And then they gravitate towards the aunt, right? The aunt that you think is a zero, the uncle that you think is a zero, your child gets along with that aunt. Your child gets along with that uncle. Like, they are always, if it's a space where they are always at home, then they are always together. If it's a space where they visit now and then, they are always together. If it's a space where they have a better phone communication because they live far from each other, they are always better. It, to an extent where, geretonyengwa, you even call that particular uncle or aunt, right? That you don't fancy this aunt or uncle. It's, you look at them like, it could be your younger brother that's not doing anything with their lives. Malume, uncle. It could be that uncle that you think is doing nothing for their lives, but your child is just smitten by this person. Malume, hey tatekuru, hey uncle, hey, my favorite uncle. Shout out that I'm their favorite uncle, huh? You're like, why can't your role model be Sam Nyoma? Why can't your role model be somebody else? Why this man, nane, oharandisikuni for a living, and this is your child's role model. And I know it's very difficult, this one too. It's very difficult to understand, but you have come to terms with it and accepted it as it is, because you can't also make your child not love the person that they love, right? So you keep to it, mar, but it's not your heart's desire. So what's your heart's desire then? Your heart's desire is for your child to have a good role model, but what happens there in their relationship? I can tell you now as a parent, that what happens between, as a parent and as a child, right? That what happens between the outcast aunt or the outcast or the black sheep uncle, right? And your child, what happens there is that they go through the same emotion. They go through rejection from the family. They go through rejection from others. They go through rejection from people. They even go through rejection from you. Now you might be in a space where you think that you're not rejecting your child in any way, but when your child doesn't feel like they are enough, when your child doesn't feel like they are doing good, when your child doesn't receive appraisal the way they deem it, the love language conversation is always important, because it goes back to you can love me in the love language that you see and you know you receive love. But as long as you are loving me in a language I will not understand, right? I don't understand. So them with the uncle or the auntie, Urich auntie, eh? Urich auntie is getting money from you, but it looks like Urich auntie is always having the money for the child, because Urich auntie has the time. Urich auntie has the time to take the child to Spur. Urich auntie has the time to take the child to all these fun places, arcades and what driving and all of that. The child, the rich auntie has that, and you think that that, yeah, but it's my money, because you give rich auntie the money in the shin. The child just sees it as a sin, in a sense of, this auntie sacrifices their time to spend it with me. And in that time when they are talking, right, they're talking maybe about friends, for example, and your child says like, I don't have friends. And people are so fake, right? Auntie can also say like, yeah, I understand how you feel, because she can be vulnerable with your child. Now your child says that, yeah, people are fake. You, wena, because you don't want to explain this other time that you and your friend had a fallout, until today you guys don't talk, right? You don't want to talk about that because you want to be seen as a superstar and a rock star, and I do no wrong in front of my children's eyes, right? So as a result, you don't share your vulnerable moments. You don't look vulnerable. You always look like you're on top. You always look like you got it. You always look like your whole life is exactly the way it's supposed to be. It looks like your life is going perfectly, and me with my imperfect life, I pale in comparison next to you. But here by my aunt, where I can have a conversation and she can relate to my conversation, right? I feel uhumbo. I feel at peace. I feel not judged, not looked down upon, not like, I feel good. And that is the relationship between them. And it comes from a stage of being vulnerable. Many of us are not allowing ourselves to be vulnerable around children because we said that children are not people, right? We don't explain ourselves to children. We don't talk to children like that. We don't repeat our things with children, yeah, to pop in, no, nah. And children must not be sitting where they are adults, and children must go away, and children are outcast, and children cannot make decisions, and children are not smart enough, and children are not, they don't have the mental capacity to do anything. They must just be children. Even though you have a brilliant child, you will never see their brilliance because you hold them in a box, and that box for them is not even a box anymore. It is a cage. But there with auntie, they can have conversations upon conversations upon conversations. And even when you guys have fights, right? I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but when auntie gets a car and auntie can drive, and you have a fight or a fallout with auntie, with, not with auntie, but with the child, the child calls auntie to come and pick them up, and then the child goes to auntie or to uncle, right? And what is different between you and aunt and uncle is that aunt and uncle drops everything. They drop everything to come and get their nephew or their niece. They drop everything to make sure that we are going to tackle this together. But we don't have that kind of tolerance, and we don't have that kind of patience. And most of all, we don't have that kind of vulnerability. Had I known that some of the difficulties that I'm facing right now are difficulties that my parents had also faced, right? I would tackle it better. I would tackle it with a heart of compassion towards myself, a heart of compassion towards humanity, and a heart of peace when it comes to things not working out or going my way, because my parents were vulnerable enough to express themselves and to tell me about their trials and tribulations in a vulnerable manner, not just a learn a lesson kind of manner. It's more about a vulnerable manner. You tell me about the nights you've cried when you started your business. Now we are looking at you guys like multimillionaires, and you might be multimillionaires, but we seldom hear the beginning story, which, oh, I only had $2 on my name at that point, and $2 was maybe equivalent to a 200 in current times, but at that time I only had a $2, and I told myself that I better make it work and I better get out of the slums, you know. But you don't talk about the times where the business collapsed. You don't talk about the times where the business picked up like magically, and it was just by the grace of Allah or the universe, you know. You don't tell us about that because you deem it as a dark time or a sense of weakness. You don't tell us about your depression. You don't tell us about there are parents that have had miscarriages, right? And I'm speaking to you guys. There are parents that have had miscarriages, and they go on to have other children after the miscarriage, and they raise their children. They raise their children well. Life continues, right? And until the day they die, they have never spoken about the miscarriage. So even when daughter dearest, right, goes through a miscarriage herself when she's older, mother knows what to do, but you don't know how she knows what to do, because she doesn't want to talk about it, because she doesn't want to open up, because she doesn't want to relive whatever experience she experienced. But it's through communication and through vulnerability that I can now, as your child, see you as a human being, and I can put you in a better light. Now you come there and you are telling me, like, literally, I'm assuming that you've never had a miscarriage. As my mom, I'm assuming that you've never in your life ever had a miscarriage, and I'm now going through a miscarriage, and you are telling me, like, yeah, I take a hot water bottle, and then ithura mumaguru, and then twithura on the sides of your hips, right? And I'm not listening to you. I'm not listening to you because I feel that you have no idea what I'm going through. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you have no idea. So as long as you have no idea what I am going through, then I best believe that, I believe that you must sit this one out. If you want to be present, you can be present in flesh, but you can sit this one out. You can say a prayer or two for me, but you can sit this one out. And it's just because you have not put yourself in a place of vulnerability to tell me your things. You want me to tell you your things as a child to you, but you don't want to tell me your things so that I can relate to you. And I think that this is a big mistake that happens, because parents have a tendency of only advising those that are married. They only advise those that are married. They only want, to make marriages work, but they don't want to make relationships work to the extent where the relationship actually gets to marriage. It's like they throw you under the bus, the whole entire relationship. And then all of the sudden, right, now you want to be part of the marriage. And you want us to be sitting and you want us to be discussing problems, but yet I didn't even know that that was an option. Had I known that that was an option, then the relationships that I had could have been mended, and I could have ended up with somebody rather than this person that is now most probably doing bad things to me, or I would have felt better. Do you know how many women are quiet? How many people are quiet within their relationships because they feel that nobody can relate to them? Nobody can relate to them, and the closest people that they have to have conversations with pretend as if they never had a life prior to being our parents. Like, they've never had miscarriages. They've never lost money. They've never gambled. They've never dropped money somewhere. They've never struck out on their luck. They've never lost jobs. They've never, like, even if you look at your life right now, and I'm saying, like, look at it honestly, especially for people that have had working parents, right? The job where your parents used to work when you were younger is not the same job that they work right now. But they never tell you about what caused them to leave. They never tell you about what caused them to get fired. They never tell you about their experiences. So now, even when you are going through workplace fatigue or unhappiness, or your boss is unhappy with your performance, right? Even when you are going through that, you have nobody to talk to. Nobody that is important to talk to. That's why many of us cling on to our relationships, because the people that we are in relationships with now become our parents, and they become our lovers, and they become our friends and our advisors. It seems like we are walking around in this world absolutely isolated, alone, because our parents tend to never want to talk about their experiences. They don't talk about important things. They only talk about important things when you are married. And even when you are giving advice for married people, right? They never really honestly speak about their own experiences, because apparently they don't talk to children and you are still a child in their eyes. So when do our parents become vulnerable enough to allow our teens in and our teens to understand? They all say the same thing, like they were all born by one mother. We have all passed that stage of being a teenager. There's nothing that you can tell me that I have not experienced already. But if you are not talking about your experiences as a teenager, right? How will I know that you were really a teenager? Because me, ever since I've met you in your life, right? You've always been adult to me. You've always been an adult. You've never been a teenager. I don't know you in your teenagers. I know you as an adult, and then I know you as an old person, as a parent. I know you in two phases. I don't know you as a child. I don't know you as a teen, because I wasn't there. So how do we now open a channel where we can be vulnerable amongst our children and also maintain a healthy balance of respect, regardless of what is being spoken about, how it's being spoken about, when it's being spoken about? And there is power in vulnerability, but we often see vulnerability as weakness, and that is our first mistake. We see vulnerability as weakness, and in this vulnerability is actually where the strength lays. So ladies and gentlemen, we are going to be, you know how we do on our Fridays, right? We usually have conversations with wonderful people, with wonderful people that can tell us a thing or two about their experiences, and we can maybe learn a lesson or two from their experiences. So tonight we're going to be, or for now we're going to be talking to Brenny Brown, and she's going to be telling us about the power of vulnerability and what vulnerability can possibly do within our lives. So I give you this disclaimer yet again, as I always do. Ladies and gentlemen, we as Eagle Media House do not claim rights or do not claim ownership of the clips or the audios that we play during the Pulling Heartstrings show. These are strictly for illustration purposes. They are strictly for learning purposes. They are strictly for pulling heartstring purposes, for us to somehow pull our heartstrings to come to a better place and to do better. Enjoy.
So I'll start with this. A couple of years ago, an event planner called me because I was going to do a speaking event, and she called and she said, "I'm really struggling with how to write about you on the little flyer." And I thought, well, what's the struggle? And she said, "Well, I saw you speak, and I'm going to call you a researcher, I think, but I'm afraid if I call you a researcher, no one will come because they'll think you're boring and irrelevant." And I was like, okay. And she said, but the thing I liked about your talk is, you know, you're a storyteller, so I think what I'll do is just call you a storyteller. And of course, the academic, insecure part of me was like, "You're going to call me a what?" And she said, "I'm going to call you a storyteller." And I was like, "Oh, why not Magic Pixie?" Let me think about this for a second. And so I tried to call deep on my courage, and I thought, you know, I am a storyteller. I'm a qualitative researcher. I collect stories. That's what I do. And maybe stories are just data with a soul, you know, and maybe I'm just a storyteller. So I said, "You know what? Why don't you just say I'm a researcher storyteller?" And she went, "There's no such thing." So I'm a researcher storyteller. And I'm going to talk to you today. We're talking about expanding perception. And so I want to talk to you and tell some stories about a piece of my research that fundamentally expanded my perception, and really actually changed the way that I live and love and work and parent. And this is where my story starts. When I was a young researcher, doctoral student, my first year I had a research professor who, one of his first days of class, he said to us, "Here's the thing. If you cannot measure it, it does not exist." And I thought he was just sweet talking to me. I was like, "Really?" And he's like, "Absolutely." So you have to understand that I have a bachelor's in social work, a master's in social work, and I was getting my PhD in social work. So my entire academic career was surrounded by people who kind of believed in the life's messy, love it, you know, and I'm more the life's messy, clean it up, organize it, and put it into a bento box. And so to think that I had found my way, to found a career that takes me, you know, really one of the big sayings in social work is lean into the discomfort of the work. And I'm like, you know, knock discomfort upside the head and move it over and get all A's. That was my mantra. So I was very excited about this. And so I thought, you know what? This is the career for me because I am interested in some messy topics, but I want to be able to make them not messy. I want to understand them. I want to hack into these things that I know are important and lay the code out for everyone to see. So where I started was with connection, because by the time you're a social worker for 10 years, what you realize is that connection is why we're here. It's what gives purpose and meaning to our lives. This is what it's all about. It doesn't matter whether you talk to people who work in social justice and mental health and abuse and neglect. What we know is that connection, the ability to feel connected, is neurobiologically, that's how we're wired. It's why we're here. So I thought, you know what? I'm going to start with connection. Well, you know that situation where you get an evaluation from your boss and she tells you 37 things that you do really awesome and one thing that you can't, you know, an opportunity for growth. And all you can think about is that opportunity for growth, right? Well, apparently this is the way my work went as well, because when you ask people about love, they tell you about heartbreak. When you ask people about belonging, they'll tell you their most excruciating experiences of being excluded. And when you ask people about connection, the stories they told me were about disconnection. So very quickly, really about 6 weeks into this research, I ran into this unnamed thing that absolutely unraveled connection in a way that I didn't understand or had never seen. And so I pulled back out of the research and thought, I need to figure out what this is. And it turned out to be shame. It turned out that, and shame is really easily understood as the fear of disconnection. Is there something about me that if other people know it or see it, that I won't be worthy of connection? The things I can tell you about it, it's universal. We all have it. The only people who don't experience shame have no capacity for human empathy or connection. No one wants to talk about it, and the less you talk about it, the more you have it. What underpinned this shame, this I'm not good enough, which we all know that feeling, I'm not blank enough, I'm not thin enough, rich enough, beautiful enough, smart enough, promoted enough. The thing that underpinned this was kind of this excruciating vulnerability, this idea of in order for connection to happen, we have to allow ourselves to be seen, really seen. And you know how I feel about vulnerability. I hate vulnerability. And so I thought, this is my chance to beat it back with my measuring stick. I'm going in. I'm going to figure this stuff out. I'm going to spend a year. I'm going to totally deconstruct shame. I'm going to understand how vulnerability works, and I'm going to outsmart it. So I was ready, and I was really excited. As you know, it's not going to turn out well. You know this. So I could tell you a lot about shame, but I'd have to borrow everyone else's time. But here's what I can tell you that it boils down to. And this may be one of the most important things that I've ever learned in the decade of doing this research. My 1 year has turned into 6 years, thousands of stories, hundreds of long interviews, focus groups. At one point, people were sending me journal pages and sending me their stories, thousands of pieces of data. And 6 years. And I kind of got a handle on it. I kind of understood this is what shame is. This is how it works. I wrote a book. I published a theory, but something was not okay. And what it was is that if I roughly took the people I interviewed and divided them into people who really have a sense of worthiness, that's what this comes down to, a sense of worthiness. They have a sense, a strong sense of love and belonging. And folks who struggle for it, and folks who are always wondering if they're good enough. There was only one variable that separated the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging and have a strong, and really struggle for it. And that was the people who have a strong sense of love and belonging believe they're worthy of love and belonging. That's it. They believe they're worthy. And to me, the hard part of the one thing that keeps us out of connection is our fear that we're not worthy of connection was something that personally and professionally I felt like I needed to understand better. So what I did is I took all of the interviews where I saw worthiness, where I saw people living that way, and just looked at those. What do these people have in common? And I have a slight office supply addiction, but that's another talk. So I had a manila notebook, a manila folder, and I had a Sharpie. And I was like, what am I going to call this research? And the first words that came to my mind were wholehearted. These are kind of wholehearted people living from this deep sense of worthiness. So I wrote at the top of the manila folder. And I started looking at the data. In fact, I did it first in this very four-day very intensive data analysis where I went back, pulled these interviews, pulled the stories, pulled the incidents. What's the theme? What's the pattern? My husband left town with the kids. Because I always go into this kind of Jackson Pollock crazy thing where I'm just like writing and going and kind of just in my researcher mode. And so here's what I found. What they had in common was a sense of courage. And I want to separate courage and bravery for you for a minute. Courage, the original definition of courage, when it first came into the English language, it's from the Latin word cur, meaning heart, and the original definition was to tell the story of who you are with your whole heart. And so these folks had, very simply, the courage to be imperfect. They had the compassion to be kind to themselves first and then to others, because as it turns out, we can't practice compassion with other people if we can't treat ourselves kindly. And the last was they had connection, and this was the hard part, as a result of authenticity. They were willing to let go of who they thought they should be in order to be who they were, which is you have to absolutely do that for connection. The other thing that they had in common was this. They fully embraced vulnerability. They believed that what made them vulnerable made them beautiful. They didn't talk about vulnerability being comfortable, nor did they really talk about it being excruciating, as I had heard earlier in the shame interviewing. They just talked about it being necessary. They talked about the willingness to say I love you first. The willingness to do something where there are no guarantees. The willingness to breathe through waiting for the doctor to call after your mammogram. The willing to invest in a relationship that may or may not work out. They thought this was fundamental. I personally thought it was betrayal. I could not believe I had pledged allegiance to research, where our job, you know, the definition of research is to control and predict, to study phenomenon for the reason, for the explicit reason to control and predict. And now my very, you know, my mission to...
Good evening.
Good evening, Mitya. How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you, Tate?
Fine. Long time.
Very long. How have you been?
We are just trying with this Katima stuff. It's a lot of things we were supposed to speak about in this town. But your problem is, you know, when somebody is listening to the radio, he participates very well. But now, since that time when I told you that last, it was in November, in March, somewhere there. Since that time, we don't hear Ego FM. You know, when you go after Instagram, you listen to the past, you don't listen to the life. That is the thing. So I don't know when are you going to extend your coverage this side, because your coverage is not there.
Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry about that.
Now you don't know what to do. You just say a story about it. Now even I called even, we just wanted to hear whether Igwe FM is still alive.
We are still here.
Okay.
Mm. Today we are talking about teenagers.
Teenagers.
Mm.
Who are not,
Rebels. Mm-hmm.
Teenagers become rebels.
Mm.
Or rebels of life or what?
Yes.
It is not about teenagers. You know, people, whenever they grow, they forget.
Yeah.
That they were once young.
Mm.
And then whatever they feel that time, when they were young, it is also in their children. Because we are all humans. The situation, see, it changes just only because of the way life people are living. They are extending it. They are extending it. Because me, I remember all along the life we lived, the times in the 70s to the 80s up to the 90s when we came back. The style of life, the people who notice it, they don't just try to tell the children of this, of nowadays, because even when you tell them, to them, it doesn't make sense sometimes what I have seen. It is like what you are doing is a joke. But now, for them again, to tell them to follow whatever you are doing now, it is difficult because of the state, our own state. The way it was founded on. Certain way it was of begging, the other way it was of oppression, the other way it's like accept whatever you get because your advisor needs so. It is a very difficult situation today when I look at it, because I am studying our country since I came in. I lived in the different time parts of our country, and I have seen the way they live. I went there primitively, because like when you say the places like Opuo, the places like Saint Fontaine, Okonda Vilongo, Ocho, Owis, the other, these places, they were, even if we got independent, the separation of understanding, it was still vibe. Now, when it becomes now after 15 years, that time after 2005, you saw what happened in 2005. Because I don't ask the Namibian people, even when I came home here, what do you have in the museum you are making, which is making you day-to-day news, which was happening on your lifestyle. No one is recording whatever they are, it's happening to them.
Yeah.
Or on the society. Now, the children themselves, they live like just only in general, because you have to be fed, you have to be taken to school, expensive or cheaper. You can force the children to go to poor people, schools, because you don't have money. Yeah, that is the reason. Sometimes you want your children to suffer a bit or what. I don't know, because it is a situation now. Yeah, it's a situation we are in now. It's very difficult.
Yeah.
And we make it difficult because we waited for it. Yeah, like it will happen. You see, the same story about people became so, what can I say, the Esiwa. Esiwa, the Idara. Weteko. The children or the children who were left by their parents when they were small, now they are big without that clone of information from their own real parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, it's a very big thing to them because it's a very hard life to them because they are not going to get it real. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hear you.
Yeah, they cannot get it real to their real parents because they've grown up with their step-parents. Like maybe your father passed on because of the inheritance of chemical disease we got after independence.
Mm-hmm.
That disease, even our late, may his soul rest in peace, Dr. Senayoma, he kept on saying it had to be your secret. Thinking that maybe a lot of people who were living that time, they were mature enough, but at the end, at the time being, the age group of my wife and others, those group of Emma Tahepa, yeah, you remember maybe when you were small at that time? Or you were old?
Maybe small. In the middle angle.
In the middle, eh? Yeah, when he came out to say no. If we believe in saying it is my own understanding or it's my own problem, I have to live with it, and then I'll find the solution. Until when? Until he came out to say, the people who have this, please, let's go and say, I have this because I can't be like this. They ended up finding the prolonging. Now, to some who lived in shyness, they lived as long as like that. Until today, if you speak about you people, be responsible. You will find the queue at the hospitals. There's like thousands and thousands and thousands. Every day, collecting. Now, when they had the information from Tonti, saying he's not going to give any free medicine. What happened? What happened now? The African country, if they are like, they are punishing on the things that we were advocating it since independence, that please, let's put people in quarantines. Yeah, whoever. Because that time we were small. And we were still even congested on the tight of understanding our parents whenever they speak to us. We could hear them and we could follow. Because we were still in that influence of saying, now we are independent. What is going to go ahead now? But because of that fear again, of how are you going to take up that grief with somebody in a crawl, and then you outside, we saw that there are few people who were having that heart of helping the people who were in the crawl. Now, let's just live together. At the end, the confusion is come with the gender equality ministries when it came. Now, the people whose children, whose fathers are dead, the mothers, they need their husband. They go after the young men again. This is a story of saying we got equal right and old woman can marry a young boy, whatever. Freedom became too much violent on our brain, which was moving with the technology. Cell phones came that time, I'm already in Ogambaland. Yeah, there were a lot of things we were changing from capacitors, calculators, radios, whatever. It was moving now, computer, we got the PhD, and then from PhD, the cell phone, that Motorola one, the aerial one, whatever, they were moving. Now we got into this technology, which we say is now Google. Now people, they use Wi-Fi, they buy those Wi-Fi, and then even Wi-Fi for free to specify everything. So the whole information of controlling what you should give and what you cannot give, it is like, it is ending. because I don't see it very well. Even when we take the children to school, it's like wasting of time. You don't see that.
Yeah.
Because it has to come to the mind, who is creating the job? They bombarded us with the full information, but if you take our own group, we were trying to teach the children, even technologically, our own self, because me, I never worked for the government as a permanent employee. I used to help just the government sometimes when I see where there is a problem, more especially in the Ministry of Youth, because I got arts, design and technology in my mind since I'm young. I saw that a lot which we were supposed to do, it is failing us because we are trying to economize things we don't know. You know, even to open industries of carpentry, welding, whatever. We are training children to do those courses. But our own government to open those industries, which can make even our own chairs in school, even our own tables in our own offices, everything we do, hostels, everything, we still buy. And we give the tender to somebody who will provide that. Since maybe in 1993, somewhere there, when the vocational started, even like because it started this side. Are you with me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, since that time, we don't have a government structural industry, which we call, this is made by swap of this industry. It is giving a job to the people. No. All of us is education, teaching, nursing, and then from nothing. If you go to the mines, which we fought for, we say we are going to have diamonds, it's ours, everything. It is controlled by company. You go to the sea. There is no villages there at the sea where you find that we have our cattle closer to the sea. People are going in the sea, fishing even when they are hungry on their own. Nothing. They are still following the company's instruction. Saying only people with the lines can go in the water, whereby themselves they don't have canoes in the sea. While they take, where we were outside this country, we used to live closer to the seas, and we used to paddle canoes in the seas. We know the mangroves, we know the types of water is there, even the problems. But we cannot go there because our government accepted certain things which us Namibians is suffocating us. To change it is difficult. Now the children, you can see the youth now, even if you give them $250 million, to give them in their pockets, they will end up dying drinking.
Yeah.
Because they don't know what industry you want. Because even you, the one who is on the government, you are still living on the industry you never created. The government never be created by SWAPO. SWAPO founded the government. Only leadership control.
Yeah.
Which we took over. The leadership control of the people who never, some or a lot of them, they never finish their matric. Like me, I finish my matric, I'm inside. Now look at the parents we carried to come with it. And then some of us, our parents left outside. They died there. But now, when you are in now, the parents, those ones you came with, they are the people who died, some they died even after 3 years, some after 4 years, some after 10 years. A lot of the people who understood, who stood, came to say they will try and do whatever it happens. They ended up in DBC. You see DBC companies? That one, which was for agriculture, doesn't produce anything, whatever. Those are industry which came. Now, the one for the chairs of the schools and everything, we found that one. It was in Kitimanfo. That it came just centered to come to Bindu. So the youth, I don't know if the ministers or the people who are trying to say they understand technology. You go to a director. the director of education, if you ask him, what do you know yourself to make, which makes you to become directive, 5 or 8 of the 10 things you can make with your own hand and make something else. You don't know completely all of them.
Mm.
There is nothing they can make out of their own hand.
Yeah.
There are few. Israel, hear that one.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I never traveled.
But just hold the line for me. Please hold the line.
Okay.
Get to USAFE today, where every penny counts. Pay only 139.99 Namibian dollars for selected Lavis Previn 1 washing powder, cost only 34.99 Namibian dollars at USAFE. And a large tin Right Brand dog food, just 26.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE, we all save at USAFE.
Kuranga au mathimbo ya mukucha, omora sheketu na ompango vizido monjira. Ngashi, ino taaguru kila shampoka. Ino hinga kuhio dungo, ino hinga anumata ya ira gapapa, ino hingirira. Omora ashoka, inatukara okutura onkaramu nyoe, moshiponga. Ino ninga umuyarurwa, ino ninga oshinene nima. Kara umurongithi wonjira, omu inekewa. Ninga shoka sho monjira, eto kupitha omuinyo.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings. Okay, so Tate, are you saying that, would you agree with me if I said that, the parenting style that we have is not the same to the parenting style that our parents had?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one is obvious because the way we try to mm-hmm. our children, mm-hmm. impact in it, fear of saying, if I will do it, certain person who never went through what I went through, intermingling of ourselves,
mm-hmm.
it brought us also into this problem. Now, that one is traditional.
Mm.
But now when it comes to our own technological way of the way we changed from where we were to how we became smaller, changing, understanding the future and everything, mm. we don't call each other the way we see things. We don't call each other to collaborate and sing once. We are always after money, which we don't know how to make.
Mm.
That is what happened to our country. It's a big problem to our children. Because if you are so innovative, you know we started calling for innovation since independence.
Mm.
That innovation, we got it because us who came out from there, we were having that sense of a national service.
Mm.
You know national service, national youth service, that one.
Mm.
Again, the people who went for it,
mm.
they went there to be instructor of money. Instead of doing the right things the way they were doing outside.
Mm.
You see now. Now you become an instructor of agriculture, but you don't advocate for a big farm which mm. can take more than a white peasant's farm. As big as the white peasant's farm is big, yours can be bigger than that because it's a government organization.
Mm.
We failed that, and then we became again that isolation of saying, what can I do? I went into the struggle myself.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they do if you struggle. At the end, now we are seeing, we are afraid of them to be used by anyone who will try to overthrow us.
Mm.
Now we come with ideas. Every presidential campaigning, it comes talking to the youth. You see, independence.
Mm.
The youth who you can even employ. You employ just only the people who guard you when you are sitting on money.
Mm.
That is the youth they use to talk. You hear when they talk about the youth, they talk about defense. They talk about the police.
Mm.
They talk, even when Dangerous Para formed this one, the tax force.
Mm.
It was formed because of failing to employ people to face the people in the East. Because that time, 97, 7,000 standing on Fajar Day there, looking for employment. At the end, whenever they failed, when they failed to give that employment again, the children burst. When the children burst, they blamed the Muyongo.
Yeah.
Yeah, on that they were saying, the people of... But they were together there saying, it's the job for comrades. We came to Namibia, all of that intake of from 1995. A lot of them, they are the people who faced the problem. Because I came out from Kakongola myself, the first Untaki, and got back to school. But when we finished 95, with very young ones, we saw the problem that is coming until we went to Namibia in the desert to stay there and do whatever we could. But they ended up going back to Botswana and going to say the people who want to come back will give them job. I saw them there in Ogambland when I'm there. When after registering those guys, they are still even there, Shakati, some they are working there. Some they even become big investigators, those who took out the bodies of the person who was a serial killer, that Kakunya, who was killing people, nowadays.
Yeah.
One of them is my friend, whom I finished with, Greto, who went to beat those people to find out. Now, you find that people, whenever they are threatened, that poor people are always violent. They don't understand.
Yeah.
Now, the people who were supposed to be a logger, you see my friend now, whom we were living with, Tapi there, and then we moved from there, 95, when the boom, too much boom of the young ones, followed as in Vindu, Leshahana. May his soul rest in peace, but even though we are too far, I was supposed to be there. Yeah. But it is not good to go after somebody is passed on. But whatever he was advocating, you never hear it. Even when I saw that that thing and whatever. I check, I see, I say, people with no sympathy, but with money, they feel happy now for that. That's why they are celebrating. Instead, the time of the cry of somebody when he was speaking, they don't understand. The things we use to speak ourselves, it's not the things which is not there. It is there, right there. And it can't stop. You see, even now, the mother, the one in the tomb. In Nyango, they know how we are suffering. On the ports. Yeah. We used to call those 10 ladies, the iron ladies, they were 10. They all ended up here when we came here, maybe they were 6. Yeah. Now we have if you get people international, Shaningwa, and the others, there were big 10 who joined that battle of for the other side, who joined the military for the other side of Shatotwa there in Zambia. Yeah. But in me, when I'm telling you, even that money of veteran, I was refusing it, but it started in our office, nationwide detective and professional practitioner. Yes. The Marurus, they don't have money, whatever. Up to the Kuturiatika. Also, the people, the Kuturiatika, I never tested those things. I was looking and saying, this is the freedom which we fought for. It was for us to look after our own life in Namibia for every person who passed on. Even if he come back, he will hear that we don't have problem. But the problem followed the us too much. Because of greedy and the fear of helping the people who were inside. Afraid of saying they are break, but they were used by the white people. Well, how could they not be used if the white people, they were the one who can make the farms, who can even have cattle, even if they stolen those cattle. Now, when you come back, can you have big farms for the government of yours, and then the people are looking after them because this land is yours? We sell agriculture. We are still selling. We are making projects, putting farmers who are coming from Zimbabwe, from Zambia, from wherever they come from, Malawi. You think those people, wherever, where they come from, they are poor currency there. They can come here and do good without our currency still leaning on South Africa to do good for us, and then their children, then they are suffering. They used even to come and marry even some of those who run away. I know some of my friends who get to marry, to get married there in Ogambalat.
Mm.
And they don't even go back now.
Yeah.
But some, they don't have even kids.
Mm.
When they will die, their children, no way to, their families, no way.
Mm.
Only us here. Now, it's a very difficult situation when you talk about the youth. It's big. And they needed the truthful people who knows. Because even now, if I tell them, you people, what you need is this and this and this and this and this, it will cost you how much for to harvest a certain number of the youth of how, or how many. And the qualities they should have and the behaviors they should have, they should have the focus of the behavior of having the discipline like of defense.
Yeah.
If you do wrong, you have to be punished so that you cannot repeat. And then that one, if they harvest people to take to defense, they should know that the defense should produce food for the country.
Mm.
And for itself, because defense itself, it is having all ministries. I don't know why we are selling ourselves.
Mm.
Defense ministry, it is having all the ministry in it.
Mm.
Why are they not harvesting everyone and giving them the instruction in a democratic way, saying we take all uneducated and educated, we are going to divide you accordingly to what is, but those instructions, there are then some parliamentarians who grown up outside this country, they went through those things because they are old now, their license is out, us who are fighting them, you know, when I wanted to give them the things to do, they used to say, bring the university qualification. This university which is there, the qualification they are using is us who are uneducated, they call. Who educated the other?
Mm-hmm.
Critical research, they sell it until to ask a person from outside this country, the Zimbabwean, because the poverty lies of critical research, they can't do it. Because certain questions, they never went through them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the one which they sell the children. Now they take the children to the college or to the university there. When
yeah.
it comes to the final, those children, they come out passing the model from year one
mm.
to year four. They fail last. You see?
Yeah.
The major one, critical is the one practical job, a practical work you did to make those, all those qualities you had to become a PhD or a degree or a diploma. You see now?
Yeah,
they are failing that one. So after you call, they say complete, or even teachers who fail at the college,
mm.
who fail at these universities now, they end up complete because in the classes where they started complete, primary level is complete. Now I heard that they are going to, the education, they are going to have a quorum to say all the teachers, what? What are they saying if the teachers, starting from IOL, which mm-hmm. they formed with this regal shield, was it to save the people to get money from the government to be paid, not to be lied down? If it was supposed to say education, it is down, they were supposed to start that time, 98, 99.
Mm-hmm.
You see? They give people qualifications. It's same like the IDs. They do the same. They do everything. It's rubbish. Sorry to say that.
Mm.
We are all ourselves. We are the one who put ourselves in danger of not holding the truth. Since the cabinet, it is not on the air. Do you think that is democracy?
No.
You can help me there.
No.
This is a cabinet, our cabinet, all those ministers, appointed ministers.
Mm.
Some ministers, they are appointed because of friendly, or some of the, they are fear of that tribe, of that.
Ulala, good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. If you have just joined us, we are talking about, we're talking about our children. We're talking about teenagers and their rebellion.
To control and predict had turned up the answer that the way to live is with vulnerability and to stop controlling and predicting. This led to a little breakdown, which actually looked more like this. And it did. It led to a, I call it a breakdown. My therapist calls it a spiritual awakening.
Good evening.
Yes, evening. How are you, Elizabeth?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
It's about to be.
It's about to be?
Yeah.
What did you say? Can you hear me? Alrighty.
Spiritual awakening sounds better than breakdown, but I assure you it was a breakdown. It did. And I had to put my data away and go find a therapist. Let me tell you something. You know who you are when you call your friends and say, I think I need to see somebody. Who, do you have any recommendations? Because about five of my friends are like, woo, I wouldn't want to be your therapist. And I was like, what does that mean? And they're like, I'm just saying, you know, like.
Good evening.
Yes, evening, Matthew.
How are you?
I don't know if it's a network or somebody's trying to hijack the phone.
It's a witch.
The call.
It's a witch. It's a witch.
Yeah, I think it's a witch in the air, man.
Who
tries to intercept the connection?
Chiri, it's a witch.
Like a broom,
guy. Mm-hmm.
That's the thing I know about.
My dear.
Man, who was that guy we were talking to?
Mr. Power. This is Power.
Really
strength.
Yeah,
mm.
Before I got fed, I think the last time, like it used to be, like me. I used to be a laster, but now I cut off my hair.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a guy a laster?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Oh, no.
No, my dear, it's not a raster.
Let him just accuse him.
Yeah, just accuse him. It's fine. He doesn't mind.
Yeah. No problem at all. But anyway, he's talking a lot of things, man, which is making sense.
Yeah.
Mm.
You guys like because fights now, most.
Yeah, no. The thing is that when you look at our what is happening to us, this is our own doing. Whatever we are going through,
yeah,
the one we are creating our own problem.
Mm.
But the thing with today, what they call themselves VIP.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Tomorrow become like a mandume.
Idea.
And it will become and it will become a problem because now you belong to certain group. Mm-hmm. You think about it back home.
Yeah.
Where you've been fighting for to become a traditional council. Malapano, where went the poor? Oh, I never
thank God you in mind.
Yeah. And you don't even know any person in the world, okay? I mean, in the village.
Mm.
To become a... Those are things we don't know.
Mm.
That you know, né? What you are plowing is always... Is
just say it in English. Oh.
No.
Why are we forcing things?
No.
If you can't say it, if you can't say it, just say it in English, brother.
In English,
yeah.
What you are planting,
you will reap what you sow.
Hey, oh, yeah, bo.
Yeah.
The one we are, it's called that level when you go, 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 no, fi, no, go, dibo. Yes. So, Metriaga, you know what, ne?
Yeah.
When I listen to the guy, I don't know what you think your topic is for today, because I just...
My dear, that one, even if you give him the topic, it was supposed to be about teenagers.
Teenager, what?
Our parenting style, right? Oh. Is it the same from, rebellious teenagers? Is our parenting style the same as our parents? And his argument is that it can't be the same because the parents themselves, they went through so much. So even if they're having rebellious children, right? It is because even themselves, they are not in positions in which they want to be. Which is true.
Which is true.
Yeah.
It's true. Mm. Because you remember one thing that what you are parenting now today, ne? It's not ours.
Yeah.
Our fault.
Yeah.
Hey, hello, Mel. Mm-hmm. Listen, hello. Mm-hmm. I'm with my son today in the car.
What do you want me to say?
Hey, I'm the supervisor today.
What do you want
me to say? You see now.
Kwatumwa kumemewa kucha this man has no.
He's always in the car. This time, go and find out what he's up to. You see one thing, Matrix.
Yeah.
What we are planning today, this is not our upbringing.
Yeah.
But it's our planning. What we are. To teach our kids. Mm. It's what our parents did to us.
Mm.
And we are killing it all.
Yeah.
It's illegal. Mm.
See,
me, I don't blame anybody what you are going through today.
Mm.
Because we saw what our parents are doing.
Yeah.
Because mostly now, look, some of us, we are, let them say like me, let me say I'm lucky to see 80 and 90. Come on, 80, 90, if I'm all from. Okay, let me say from 90 to 2000.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the bond free and I'm at 2000. Which make me unfortunately lucky because I see what the transfer place. From 90, you can see, there was even a stick.
Yeah.
And for what?
I can't hear you.
What they call that?
Which one?
I don't know what you are
talking
about. I don't know what you are talking about. You are a psychologist.
Yeah.
What do you call
it? It's just a psychologist.
Psychologist, you are in our 90.
Yeah.
Stick, I get my friend, you will be disciplinary. Oh. Stick, I will take
one. But did it work? Did that strategy really work?
It worked, my friend.
Are you sure?
I saw one guy, I'm telling you, I can give you a lot of examples. In our peers, there are people who are just not it by nature. Once they receive that.
That
three
beating.
Or five times. Serious business. So what? Wow, rap on the holy mama. But which one of
them?
That is our time, huh?
Yeah.
And sometimes these are just what is developing ours. Mala, top of the window. What you going to do? But that is a mega mus.
Yeah.
Mala, you don't know my. And I what you are going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to get but apple.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you are get disciplined by the stick. And you know that yourself you are not going to repeat the same mistake. Unless you know Angapo, Uncle who's already having a lot of problem, then he's putting that problem in you.
Yeah.
Marane, those days you cannot compare with it now.
Yeah.
I think we are having a lot of problem than the back days.
Yeah. I don't think that one works.
Where?
I don't think that the beating works.
It does.
I think that there are so many messed up people.
Like what?
Like we are very messed up. We are not the best. Yeah. Are we the best like this?
Maybe we are the best. Even I think our forefathers, our older people are. They are the ones who are going backwards. Not backwards, but I think they are developing and they are going too fast than us.
Okay.
Because Metraga, what the dog are happening, like the way you are, you can even call your cousin and who. But your mother.
Yeah.
He never communicated to anybody in the family.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. But you are trying to even keep the family together.
Yeah.
It's what is happening today. Our parents are seeing their mom too much in material things.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. They are messing up. That's why when you see the people are spending like what? 1 million in a cake,
In a cake,
Oh, no food down of it.
My God.
The Speaker of Parliament, I'm telling you, she spent 1 million in cake.
What type of deliciousness is that? What type of deliciousness is that?
Oh, I'm telling you. This is current news now. Not cake, even biscuit.
Oh, cookie.
Biscuit, but I don't know 1 million. This is a thing which are currently taking place. Don't get automatic job as that what that's a revenge. Yeah, things are going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, the thing is that if you look at that meme, how old is she? She know best.
She know better.
Yeah. Instead of spending Nandongo make a day, I'm making a party. I'm in the Monotari. Most of the bamboo day. Why can you spend even what? 1 million in a biscuit? Are we serious? Biscuit and flour, no? Soon I go to flour and better when you have to work a shower, guavafi, when you have AP.
Yeah.
Or how? How can you spend that money? And that's something useless. So they're going to go there. We are copying. And the way they are grooming us, that is not the way we're supposed to be. Over that way to their family, over the people, those people. My combatant, I'm going to go to the
military. Okay,
but hey.
Combatant, they are too late. If you, ma'am.
That's what she gave.
Ofunda, man.
I am a no. Some people are okay, but the majority. Oh, my brother, you are in the 80, but you are still stealing.
Auntie, I'm here, one and one. To be honest, at the end of the day,
I'm the one I'm talking to, Matthew. 1 million again, Ghani, I will not finish it.
Yeah.
But I'm in the 40. I will not finish in my lifetime. I'm not spending any time.
Yeah.
What maroon do tabake? Tabake 200 million, 150 million, 4 million. What happened? What are we going to use that money? Yeah, man. The problem is that it's not our fault where we found ourselves. Especially if you start. Adapting the way they are treating us. will end up somewhere leading our generation, especially the next generation, I'm just fearing, in our country.
Yeah.
And I would have made it if it was not Trump.
Yeah.
I don't
know. No.
What?
I know. That one, aye, no. Aye, no. That's not true. We have always been opposing that one. To be honest, we have always opposed it. We have opposed it. But hold the line for me so that we quickly go peep in D.
Onda kalahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife, ohandimo kuyadi. Nondaka, ne data, no shoyo o utungara kavahupi. O netwe kaimwe, o kufutarumwe, o kuinyingarumwe, o kujapandali. Fio papa ndauka. Onda pumga o netwe kaoyo hai jiradira ya fange. O mafikwa amwe, o handi streaming. O mafikwa amwe, o handi popi. O mafikwa amwe, o handi ningaishe po shikanto shimwe. Pamwe na parateza, uenda holora, ameha ishipangere, osho pa umwene. Dira, umakota fanoni data, momkaro wili, mwana parika okutuma kutumaraka, okustreaminga, no kudenga pamwe na parates. Konga, parates, Namibia.
Always prepare, parates.
Hello, tutinga ini?
Oh, metu ya kamu chile, yes?
Mm.
You see, the thing that, Kucha, Wamona Kucha, if it was not Trump, who doesn't love this nonsense,
Yeah.
Or the conductor 14 leading about the machine.
Mm.
Then, we are just nearest to sign that paper. To legalize.
Mm-hmm.
Only like enough, Trump doesn't like this nonsense. What is happening?
But what kind of power does Trump have here?
Oh, influence away in Manawana Vivian. Why would we have Matriaka? We have a lot of issues which are affecting the Namibian nation. Mala. How can somebody just. Oh, funding? Huh? That's why Trump cut all of those nonsense funding. Now we are crying, but there are some people who are benefiting off that. Especially the island. Official. What kind of man is this one? And that is the thing what they are. I'm saying we don't want to lace our kids the way some of our parents are doing.
I don't know.
But the way we don't want that is that, let us go back, man. If a man is just a man. You know where we are going through, like, Noela Seyamata, they are taking their own life.
Yes.
It's because we don't organize the boy child. How can I talk about it in this program? Ucha, you know, gang, you want to destroy the country. Then you when you get a woman, she will tell the man on bed. And when you're in the bedroom, we don't think about it. We think about the downside. We don't use the brain anymore.
Gini, nandikuva mpono?
Edo kukupromise nga kucha, tomorrow I'll give you a ghetto. You know for sure I don't even have one.
Yeah.
Or I'll take you to heaven, which I've never been there.
Yeah.
You see?
Mm.
Those are things, we do it in our bedroom.
Yeah.
And you know, you guys know how to cook us.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. And those are things which are going through in Namibia now. Mm-hmm. Because the boy child doesn't have anybody to represent it. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. But is the problem really with the boy child, or is it just with you people? You guys don't know how to support each other, or you don't even want to learn how to support each other.
How can you support each other?
But if somebody is 56, are they still a boy child, brave? Oh. 59.
Look, go to your...
Crow.
Yeah. How many bulls are there?
It's our house, me, I don't know.
Yeah, Munegi, Mwege, Nenge, Nagamutaka Fufu Maga, Opotake.
Mm-hmm.
Then that one is also need to be protected because of Taka Bisumawawi, Unyakul.
Mm.
I know. Now we find ourselves competing with the. In the 70s, they are competing with the 40s.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to? That's why they don't want to retire to go to the north.
Mm.
Do you see that?
We are
competing with them. That's the problem. And now they don't want the space at all.
Mm.
You make sure that you stay far as is possible. And now they can brought a lot around. Mm. They are getting chance. That's why OIT in the 80s, still eating a lot of money because you have to support to maintain that Kamboroto life. Mm. Yeah, what we are going through today, me, I don't blame anybody. Just what I know, I put the 10% down to GTIA, no follow me at hand. Story of Momentum and Wish.
And the young man.
Don't blame anybody. That is your life. Especially if you like money, you end up that way.
Mm.
And you don't have the dignity and the moral.
Mm. Integrity.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Some of you is just, let me die poor. I never try to do that.
Mm.
That's the fact. Because that thing is just second track, man. Doesn't have a long life span. Mm-hmm. And as a man, you always ask yourself, you may end up women committing suicide because that thing will eat you up every day.
Mm.
Yeah, some of us we know. And we know the people who have been through that. And now we look at their life. It's very miserable. If you want to get a tender. Let us meet at the same hotel.
Oh, I want.
Oh, don't know, Gano. Oh. I'm telling you.
Kato si siya ikaw kucho vita madani ni kwa si. You also.
That is in the one.
I cannot hear. Hello?
Elizabeth?
I can hear you now. Yes?
Your phone is breaking up a bit.
It's not breaking. You just said something wrong. My dear, something must interrupt. Ningi pompe puna umwete mupopi.
Yeah. There's somebody. Guys, listen to this guy. You know what he was talking about? Some of us, we don't care anymore, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, yeah. we don't care because we went through from that, those people. And they were, I'm telling you that some of you are even in that grit in our molars. We don't want us to die as a man. I was born as a man. I would die as a man.
Mm.
We don't want to go a lot of flu, come out to get rich quickly. No, 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 no. That is not our things.
Mm.
Yeah. Ma, we take an air to the way to less kids, especially in Namibia. Some of us, we are even thinking of moving out.
To go away.
Oh, where can you let your boys? Especially I'm having a lot of boys, man. I just had one girl. Then I want to, I don't want my boys to go through what I went through.
Mm.
No, 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 no. Mm. Any chance I can come up, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Sure.
Mm. Even your kid is doing a sport, huh?
Mm.
There's no funding at all. Hmm? With the brother, Tarako, we had to go to the it's not even started for football. You're talking about the brothers, and there's nobody supporting because they are playing outside. But you are talking about us to develop and to take care of our kids. Where? Yeah? Regression Park is not there even there. We have to, they have to go and watch soccer at a bus. Because at home, there's not existing. What is this now? Huh? And you are talking about the basic thing. Those are basic. And when they do it, they think we are, they give us what? A privilege. And we have to say thank you to them.
Mm.
No, that's the thing which they owe us. Yeah?
Oh, they owe you.
Metric.
I hear you guys are old.
We?
Mm.
Yeah, no, 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 no. We are old, huh?
Mm.
Mm, there's nothing anymore. For, that's why they, when they are funding, they say, well, starting from when? But I think you are qualified, eh?
Me? Me, I'm okay.
Yeah.
Me, I'm okay. I'm just there.
No, what, okay.
What? I'm on DJK, okay, please, in my life. I'm just okay.
You are okay. No, 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 you are in. Just say you are in.
I'm not in. I'm just here.
Yeah.
I'm just here.
Didn't it? How can you give a fund in the school? Are you going to take him out of school? How?
Oh,
and you have a lot of people who are in the street. We are talking about even teachers. They cannot get a praise because they are a lot.
Mm.
Hey, why you don't give him a chance? Maybe they can come up with a school.
Mm.
Uh-huh. And they recruit themselves.
Oh.
Government, a butcher, at the moment.
Yeah.
Mm. If you are talking about one, you're supposed to start with your older one. And because now you can start from 18 to what, 36. And those people are going, well, the one who are going, getting a chance already, to be recruited in by police and defense force and the police. You are having people who are in the what? 36?
Mm-hmm.
They are not even there to get a, they are not even yet there to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And you are leaving them out. Sometimes if you guys are doing something, consult the people who are going to be affected.
Mm.
Don't just come then and say, no, I'm going to put it there. I know you guys are fetching water far. Let me put the tap nearby. But you don't realize that when the tapes are far, because the moment when the kids are going to face water, they are busy with their activity in the bedroom. And they calculate when the kids are coming. Now you bring the tape and then the people are angry with you. You never consult them. Isn't it? That's the problem. Sometimes I will just have to consult the people who are going to be affected. I mean, especially when you are doing the what, the favor which you are talking about. You are going to lecture the people. You are not even going to say, do you guys have any input in this project?
I'm tired of violence also.
Violent.
Nanga daroko violence akwetu ndeshitambi kongane kucha okay.
On Friday.
Hey, on Friday monarangi.
What do you expect?
My dear, if you are in the car with a bodyguard. Yeah.
Bodyguard which is watching me and even want to also say something.
My dear, they also want to talk.
I'm telling you.
Kucha, if it's not a mistress, then let me talk. Eh? If it's just auntie, then let me talk. Eh? If it's really radio, let me talk also. Ewane, thank you so much.
Ewane, meet you again.
Okay, ciao, ciao.
And what time is your show tomorrow?
1 o'clock in the afternoon.
1 o'clock, eh?
Mona wange. Otopi ko teka dila dirone na. Teka dila dirone na.
Ushili, opoteke
ya? Oteka dila dirone na. Today I'm blank, my dear. I only focus on one topic a day. I was using all my energy for this one topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for
two. Anyway, the topic I wear now, Nina, is really, really, very important because some of us we never even talk about it.
Yeah, but you guys are not being vulnerable with your children. You guys are not telling your children about your trials and your tribulations. Even when you guys talk about the country and where it's at, right?
It's a reflection of our
other. Yes, but you don't choose where you come from, but you choose where you are going. So now that you have figured out that the problem is where you are coming from, how come you don't fine tune and change where you are going? If you know that the elders did wrong, why are you still following in their footsteps?
What is ahead on you?
No, my dear.
But history always.
You guys are very quick to blame the old people, ne? But I don't see where you guys are also changing the narrative.
But the thing which also I think we can blame ourselves, is the name of changing. We are changing our name, my friend. Come no hate our yom. Or hate our. You name it.
Yeah.
Is grace or woman I put all or grace, or miracle, or judge, you know, what, even we name, start naming the football players, and those one who are playing movies and whatever, you name it. I'm telling you, names are changing. And the problem also with our culture, you know, our kids are able to speak English.
Yeah.
Fluent than Oshuambo.
Yes, but that's your fault.
It's what I'm saying. That is our fault.
We are messing up big time.
Because
in the next 30 years, the official language and the only language that is spoken in this country will only be English.
English.
Because the people that know how to speak vernacular are all dead.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
But who's creating that?
It's you guys.
No.
You guys are in your houses. You guys are in your houses speaking English with Junior.
In our house, we speak even. We try.
No, you guys don't try.
Maybe broken English.
No, you guys don't try. No, you don't.
Speak Oshuambo.
No, you don't. You don't speak Oshuambo in your houses. Even when you are reprimanding your children, you reprimand in English. Maybe you, but the 30-year-olds, they're not doing that.
But you see that the problem also where it just come from. The problem is that every kindergarten or whatever primary school, they're supposed to have it. You know the language which are dying mostly? Koi koi. You name it, just certain language.
No, but that's not even true, Shashi. No, even my primary school didn't have Oshindonga. But
seriously?
Yes, it didn't. I went to an Afrikaans school.
That's why you like. I thought maybe you are even from South Africa, in Bongolo.
Wow, wow. I'm a home buyer. I'm a whole hero of somebody. My God.
Shashi, you can see, you know, the people who like you and me, there's a huge difference because...
But me, when I come from school, I just
my
know.
English, listen, always I'm trying to put my English in words, in Oshkwanyama. Do you know that? But you, anybody can understand from England, from America. Maybe American can understand me a bit, but English, I don't think you have to repeat a lot. Like, what do I say? Excuse me? Because it's mess from the north. But I don't blame it. I think I like it. Because it's anomalous. Everybody can understand what I am. Even what I'm trying to say. You see?
But still,
yeah, but
I come
you,
from school.
You are having Walla Walla.
But I come from school to go to my house to go and speak Oshindonga. But you people, you are the ones that carry that English from school to the house.
Man, I don't know if it's a network or something.
It's most probably the network and haters.
Oh, yeah, the haters, I think they...
The haters are the ones that are killing us and finishing us.
Yeah, they start already to cut off, interrupting, they call.
Of course.
Something like that.
Of course.
Yeah, but anyway, I like that guy to come back, man. The one you are talking to, I was listening to. If he's listening, he can just call back, man.
He will call back.
He was talking a lot of things, making fact. Yeah.
Idea.
And I like the people like that. Seriously. All right, Ned.
You are. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay, mwah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we continue with our briefing.
Don't bring your measuring stick. Okay. So I found a therapist. My first meeting with her, Diana, I brought in my list of the way the wholehearted live. And I sat down and she said, you know, how are you? And I said, I'm great. You know, I'm okay. And she said, what's going on? And I said, and this is a therapist who sees therapists. Because we have to go to those because their BS meters are good. And so I said, here's the thing. I'm struggling. And she said, what's the struggle? And I said, well, I have a vulnerability issue. And, you know, and I know that vulnerability is kind of the core of shame and fear and our struggle for worthiness. But it appears that it's also the birthplace of joy, of creativity, of belonging, of love. And I think I have a problem. And I need some help. And I said, but here's the thing. No family stuff. No childhood shit. I just need some strategies. Thank you. So she goes like this. And then I said, it's bad, right? And she said, it's neither good nor bad. It just is what it is. And I said, oh my God, this is going to suck. And it did, and it didn't. And it took about a year. And you know how there are people that, like, when they realize that vulnerability and tenderness are important, that they kind of surrender and walk into it. A, that's not me. And B, I don't even hang out with people like that. For me, it was a year-long street fight. It was a slugfest. vulnerability pushed, I pushed back. I lost the fight, but probably won my life back. And so then I went back into the research and spent the next couple of years really trying to understand what they, the wholehearted, what the choices they were making, and what are we doing with vulnerability? Why do we struggle with it so much? Am I alone in struggling with vulnerability? No. So this is what I learned. We numb vulnerability. When we're waiting for the call, when we're trying to think about if we're going to, you know, it was funny. I guess Wednesday, I sent something out on Twitter and on Facebook that says, how would you define vulnerability? What makes you feel vulnerable? And within an hour and a half, I had 150 responses. Because I wanted to know, you know, what's out there? Having to ask my husband for help because I'm sick and we're newly married. Initiating sex with my husband. Initiating sex with my wife. Being turned down. Asking someone out. Waiting for the doctor to call back. Getting laid off. Laying off people. This is the world we live in. We live in a vulnerable world. And one of the ways we deal with it is we numb vulnerability. And I think there's evidence, and it's not the only reason this evidence exists, but I think that it's a huge cause. We are the most in debt, obese, addicted, and medicated adult cohort in U.S. history. The problem is, why? The problem is, and I learned this from the research, that you cannot selectively numb emotion. You can't say, here's the bad stuff. Here's vulnerability. Here's grief. Here's shame. Here's fear. Here's disappointment. I don't want to feel these. I'm going to have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. I don't want to feel these. And I know that's knowing laughter. I hack into your lives for a living. I know that's, God. You can't numb those hard feelings without numbing the other affects or emotions. You cannot selectively numb. So when we numb those, we numb joy. We numb gratitude. We numb happiness. And then we are miserable, and we are looking for purpose and meaning, and then we feel vulnerable, so then we have a couple of beers and a banana nut muffin. And it becomes this dangerous cycle. One of the things that I think that we need to think about is why and how we numb. And it doesn't just have to be addiction. The other thing we do is we make everything that's uncertain, certain. Religion has gone from a belief in faith and mystery to certainty. I'm right, you're wrong, shut up. That's it. Just certain. The more afraid we are, the more vulnerable we are, the more afraid we are. This is what politics looks like today. There's no discourse anymore. There's no conversation. There's just blame. You know how blame is described in the research? A way to discharge pain and discomfort. We perfect. Now let me tell you, if there's anyone who wants their life to look like this, it would be me. But it doesn't work. Because what we do is we take fat from our butts and put it in our cheeks. I hope in 100 years people will look back and go, wow. You know. And we perfect, most dangerously, our children. Let me tell you what we think about. Let me think very quickly about children. They're hardwired for struggle when they get here. When you hold those perfect little babies in your hand, our job is not to say, look at them, look at her, she's perfect. My job is just to keep her perfect, make sure she makes the tennis team by fifth grade and Yale by seventh grade. Our job, that's not our job. Our job is to look and say, you know what? You're imperfect and you're wired for struggle, but you are worthy of love and belonging. That's our job. Show me a generation of kids raised like that and we'll end the problems I think that we see today. We pretend that what we do doesn't have an effect on people. We do that in our personal lives. We do that corporate, whether it's a bailout, an oil spill, a recall. We pretend like what we're doing doesn't have a huge impact on other people. You know, I would say to companies, this is not our first rodeo, people. We just need you to be authentic and real and say, we're sorry. We'll fix it. But there's another way, and I'll leave you with this. This is what I have found. To let ourselves be seen. Deeply seen. Vulnerably seen. To love with our whole hearts, even though there's no guarantee. And that's really hard. And I can tell you as a parent, that's excruciatingly difficult. To practice gratitude and joy in those moments of kind of terror when we're wondering, can I love you this much? Can I believe in this as passionately? Can I be this fierce about this? Just to be able to stop and instead of catastrophizing what might happen to say, I'm just so grateful. Because to feel this vulnerable means I'm alive. And the last, which I think is probably the most important, is to believe that we're enough. Because when we work from a place, I believe, that says, I'm enough, then we stop screaming and start listening. We're kinder and gentler to the people around us, and we're kinder and gentler to ourselves. That's all I have. Thank you. So I'm going to start by walking you into a scene in a movie, and then I want y'all to tell me what happens next. Okay, here's my black. Christmas Eve. Beautiful night, light snowfall. Young family of four in the car on the way to Grandma's house for dinner. They're listening to the radio station, the one that starts playing the Christmas music like right at Halloween. Jingle Bells comes on. The kids in the back seat go crazy. Everyone breaks into song. The camera pans in on the faces of the kids, the mom, dad. What happens next? Car crash. 60% of people say car crash. 60%. Another 10 to 15% have equally fatalistic answers, but more creative. I have the camera cuts to the oncologist who is looking at the bad news that he's going to share the day after Christmas. I have, they get to grandmother's house, everyone's dead, a serial killer's on the loose. And I had one dude who worked in a shark attack. I did. What's interesting to me about this, and I, it's an indictment, a little bit of the media, which I wouldn't so much care about, except that I'm a vulnerability researcher, and I've spent the last 10 years studying vulnerability. And I cannot tell you how many hundreds and hundreds of stories that I've collected from people who that is their response, not just to media, but in their real lives. How many parents I've interviewed who will say, and I'm looking at my children and they're sleeping and I'm on this, just the verge of bliss and I picture something horrible happening. Do you know this? Yes. I get the promotion and I get to fly up to headquarters, you know, to find out about my new job and what's going to happen. Plane crashes. This is not, the fatalistic response is not universal. We're not all like that. But it is a symptom of an issue that is both universal and I believe profoundly dangerous. And that is we are losing our tolerance for vulnerability. And in our culture, what do we think is synonymous with vulnerability? Weakness. You are an excellent audience. It's almost as if I trained you. It's perfect. Weakness. And I'm going to talk about how that's not the case tonight. Vulnerability is absolutely at the core of fear and anxiety and shame and very difficult emotions that we all experience. But vulnerability is also the birthplace of joy, of love, of belonging, of creativity, of faith. And so it becomes very problematic when, as a culture, we lose our capacity to be vulnerable. So this kind of fatalistic car crash is a symptom. I refer to it as foreboding joy. One of the symptoms that we're losing our capacity for vulnerability is that joy actually becomes foreboding. Something good happens, or we're looking at someone we love, or we're thinking about something we care about, and then we become compelled to beat vulnerability to the punch. Other symptoms. Disappointment as a lifestyle. It is much easier to live disappointed than it is to feel disappointment. And so this is the person in the after school movie that I don't want to play your stupid game because it's dumb and boring. And because really maybe nobody will ask me. We sidestep getting excited about something because we're not sure it's actually going to happen. Low grade disconnection is another symptom of vulnerability avoidance. We go through the motions. It's like low grade fever. It may not kill us, but it keeps us pretty miserable. Perfection is one of the, I call it the 200-pound shield. How can anything go wrong if my life looks like an ad? I'm going to perform and please and make sure everything's perfect. And perfectionism has nothing to do with striving for excellence and healthy, it's nothing to do with healthy striving. Healthy strive, people who I interview who are absolutely accomplished and people who strive for excellence are the biggest negotiators and compromisers that I've ever interviewed. Perfection is a tool to protect ourselves. Extremism. There's a very simple equation. Faith minus vulnerability equals extremism. Faith is the vulnerability that flows between the shores of certainty. Faith without vulnerability. Spirituality is inherently vulnerable. It is believing in things we don't understand or really can't see. And last, I believe the most universal way that we are dealing with an intolerance for vulnerability in our culture is that we numb. And I'll talk about this in a minute. Let's go to a bigger question, and that is, what is driving this intolerance for vulnerability in us? And I believe the answer is scarcity. We live in a culture that tells us that there is never enough. That we are not enough, that we are not good enough, that we are not safe enough, that we can never be certain enough, that we're not perfect enough. And maybe the one that we really don't talk about that I think is perhaps the most dangerous is that we are not extraordinary enough. In this world, somehow an ordinary life has become synonymous with a meaningless life. And so often we are missing what is truly important because we're on the quest for what is extraordinary. Not understanding that in our ordinary lives, in the ordinary moments of our lives, is really where we can find the most joy. One of the things that happens, I think, in our culture of scarcity is that we are constantly collecting images and messages and experiences. I think it's unconscious. I really don't think that we're aware of how many messages and images of scarcity that we collect every day. And I want to tell a story about something that happened about 6 months ago that I think really illustrates this. So I have to catch a flight to go do a talk somewhere. And my daughter's, you know, I have a 5-year-old and an 11-year-old, and my daughter's really struggling with a school project. I am definitely in the scarcity mode. I shouldn't be going. I'm not a good enough mom. I can't balance all of this. I have to go to my bank, which is inside of a grocery store, which is, I don't know if that happens here, but in Texas, all the banks have moved inside the grocery stores. So I walk it up to the grocery store, sliding glass, you know, the sliding glass doors, and there's a big Code Adam sticker, if you don't know what that is, it's an incredibly important program, but it's a program that says this store and its employees are trained that when a child has gone missing or nabbed, everything in the store shuts down. So I look at that and I think, oh God, okay, just stay focused, Brene. No one's going to nab your kids while you're away. I go and get my money. I get back in the car. I get on the freeway toward the airport, and I pass the Amber Alert. Keep driving, Brene. Keep driving. About 2 miles past the Amber Alert, there's a sign that tells me that 39 people have been killed on that specific stretch of highway. And please wear my seatbelt. Then I get to the airport, and of course, I'm in line to security, getting naked, and I hear, the threat code has been moved to orange. And then I go through this thing that I'm like, oh my God, holy crap, is that a movement? Is it always orange? I was like, I'm going to start writing it on my hand on a Sharpie. Like, it's always orange. Okay. Orange is not, you know, hasn't gone bad. I'm like, what is it? Okay. So I'm like, orange. Okay. It's orange. Okay, I think it was orange yesterday. Maybe something's happened and I was busy reading the Amber Alert, then trying to find the license plate. So I get to my gate and I sit down and they're like, do not leave unintended baggage, you know. And I look down and there's a bag. And I'm like, oh my God. Wait, it's a diaper bag. And I know that mother is like 10 feet away chasing her kid and her diaper. And I'm like, but I saw this on Law and Order. And I'm going to board that plane. And then the next thing you're going to hear is ching, ching, that Law and Order ching. Ding, ding. And then we're blow up. So I get on the plane and I'm really getting ready to start. I'm in kind of what you would call, I would say, an anxiety attack. So I'm having an anxiety attack and the guy comes in, I'm flying in business class and the guy comes in, he's sitting next to me. He turned out to be a supply chain manager consultant. And so he looks over and he's like, you okay? I'm like, I'm good. Yeah. What's up? And my phone rings and my son's face pops up. Well, he's 5, so that means his school's calling. Hello? Charlie's got a fever. Can you come get him? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know, I text my husband, I take care of it. And the guy next to me said, really, are you okay? By this time, you know, the cabin doors are closed. And I said, you know what? I'm good. But I'm having that thing where I can't decide whether my gut is really saying get off the flight, something's going to happen, or I'm just freaking out. And I'm trying to figure out how to do something crazy enough to get off the flight, but to not end up on the no-fly list. And so this, I mean, yeah, I'm a super blast to fly with. Yeah. So then he said, let me get you a drink. And I said, you know, I don't drink. And he goes, Xanax? And I was like, no, I don't do Xanax either. Which is a shame. But I don't. But then what I realize is it really makes me think about my work. Because we numb vulnerability. Now, had he said chips and queso, that would have been a completely different issue. Evidence of the numbing. We are the most addicted. We are the most medicated, obese, and in debt adult cohort in human history. We're numbing. And this doesn't even include busyness. I didn't even put the busy slide up. You know, when they start having busy recovery meetings, they'll have to, you know, busy 12-step meetings, they'll have to rent out football stadiums. Because we just stay so busy that the truth of our lives can't catch up. That's the plan. And so what are the consequences of numbing vulnerability? What are the consequences of trying to beat vulnerability to the punch? Here's the consequence to numbing that I've learned. You know, and I'm as a vulnerability researcher, I've spent the first 6 years of my research studying shame, empathy, and courage, and the last 4 years studying joy, authenticity, love, and belonging. And one of the things that I learned that was very startling for me personally and everyone I've ever met is that you cannot selectively numb emotion. When we numb the dark emotion, when we numb vulnerability and fear and shame of not being good enough, we by default numb joy. We cannot selectively just numb the dark emotions. We have interesting research around this. We have research that shows us in addiction studies that an intensely positive experience is as likely to trigger relapse as an intensely negative experience. Let me tell you, if vulnerability is a sharp edge, there may be nothing sharper than joy. To let yourself soften into loving someone to caring about something passionately, that's vulnerable. So the question becomes, how do we embrace vulnerability? And here's what I learned from the research. We practice gratitude. We stop and be thankful for what we have. I've interviewed a lot of people who have been through many horrific things, from genocide to trauma. And when you ask them what they need, they will tell you, I don't need your pity. I don't need your sympathy. I need, when you look at your children, I need to know you're grateful. I need to know that you know what you have. So to practice gratitude, to honor what's ordinary about our lives, because that is what's truly extraordinary. We can compete with the images from the media, from the news, from the scary shows on TV, with our own images of gratitude about what's ordinary in our lives, the people we love, our kids, our family, play, our community, and nature. These are things that happen every single day that we're so busy being afraid we're missing these. So that's, I think, the biggest thing is to be grateful for what we have, to honor what's ordinary. And last, I just want to say that, and I'm a parent and I'm a vulnerable person too, but I really believe, you know, we want more guarantees. We want to believe we're not going to get hurt and that bad things are not going to happen, and they are. But there is a guarantee that no one talks about that, and that is that if we don't allow ourselves to experience joy and love, we will definitely miss out on filling our reservoir with what we need when those hard things happen. And so I'll end on the note that I'm grateful for your time tonight, and I'm grateful to be here. And I hope this is something that we can do together, because I believe in vulnerability, we'll find what really gives purpose and meaning to our lives. Thank you.
In vulnerability, my dear, to be vulnerable, to allow ourselves to be vulnerable and open is something that we need to also practice, especially when it comes to our children, right? Because at the end of the day, our children need to understand that we are human beings that have had human experiences, and we actually know what we're talking about. Many of our parents say things like, yeah, but you've never told me about it, so how will I know? And if you have not conquered your pain, then how will I know that you are capable and able to walk with me through whatever my experiences are? But let's hear from the spectrum of the children, shall we?
The car careens down the empty winding road, typical of Thailand's countryside. Music blasts as it whips by. Bottles litter the trunk of the car as smoke seeps out of the window, curling into the black night. No licenses, no one sober, no common sense. Holiday music fills the room as she's embraced by the delightful aroma of pumpkin pie baking in the oven. The warm atmosphere of the dinner party works like magic, instantly liberating the stress of school from her shoulders. Nothing better than curling up in a fuzzy blanket, catching up with friends, and singing along to merry tunes a few weeks too early. Exams are coming up, but a little bit of fun won't hurt. The anxiety of math summatives, psychology essays, and English papers hover over him like a ghost. The final weeks of the semester are quickly approaching. It's now or never. It is a Friday night, but no different than any other weekday for him. He pulls his lap.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. You're back.
Yes, I'm back. Mr. Englishman is not sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
Since we come, we never sleep. You don't know that.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yeah.
But why didn't you guys go and look for treatment yourselves?
Treatment for what?
Treatment for your sleeping.
You see this treatment of sleeping.
Mm.
It is not happening because the world which is not sleeping is developing faster, and then it is even using its own resources faster.
Mm.
Yes, for its own benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You find that the more the people are becoming too many,
mm-hmm.
the more their own interest on things they see becomes too much. Like in Namibia, we started very well because of vocational, which were individually, mm-hmm. in the first instance. You can see even the polytechies, Chama Chivikwas, and the colleagues from outside.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Mr. Namwandi there, and the colleague from outside, Mr. Mwanga, the Aukongo is from here. There were almost six guys
mm-hmm.
in the North Campus. Because they, in Namibia, I almost touched everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, everywhere. But when we wanted to advise the government, we got no power on advising people who are employed.
Mm.
Even if they do wrong, they do it smoothly for the people who put them there mm. for their own understanding.
Mm.
Now we come to the corruption. Corruption Commission was formed in 1992.
Okay.
Yeah, but it never worked. Why? Because our own political sphere, it was still new.
Mm.
And then our first president could not put it there because it could be interfere in the favor of that which happened for a long time, comradeship.
Okay.
Yes. If it's comrade, now it starts with the cabinet. Mm-hmm. How can you put your enemy to be your advisor?
Mm.
Now, can you uphold the law which does not protect you?
Mm-mm.
You can't.
You can't.
Now, we are even implementing laws in the parliament, in the cabinet, in every sphere to mm-hmm. protect our own interest as a few or one
mm-hmm.
individual.
Mm-hmm.
That greedy is the one which is not making us performing, because we are not performing because of that.
Mm.
Yes. Because if I choose Mitriak to be my secretary,
mm.
because he's from wherever,
mm.
not knowing that whatever I do, it should favor my days on existence.
Mm.
And then to the people who is going to follow me after I'm gone,
yeah.
they should exercise the same, because the space where I found myself in the time when that freedom happened, it is safe.
Mm.
Because nobody comes from where we are today.
Mm.
All of the people, black people, they migrated from somewhere.
Mm.
The wars they were fighting, it was pushing and pulling.
Mm.
You know, the long time, the people they were having that game of tug of war.
Yeah. Pull one side,
who
they pull
know
the
that
other
tug
side.
Of war?
Mm.
That is, they finished that tug of war today.
Mm.
They make it as a joke game.
Mm.
But it was the one which was having powerful
mm.
understanding in our own sphere. The more the people you have,
mm.
the more you can conquer the species you go to.
Mm.
And the people, they will adapt that language. You know that there are many languages which died.
Yeah.
You used to go after that study, eh?
Mm. I understand that there are so many languages that died.
Yeah, that died, and then others left.
Mm.
Yeah. Even now, where we are today,
mm.
you still found that there are some languages which does not have even books
mm.
in our country.
Mm.
Now, what about the other countries in Southern Africa? Do those people, those languages, going to find their own freedom?
Mm.
Do they have enough and resources to enrich themselves, to enrich their own culture and languages?
Mm-mm.
That's why they happened on a tug of war.
Mm.
the more power I can get from any support I collect, then it becomes my people.
Mm.
Now, from that game, we came to democracy.
Mm.
Democracy, that is how it is working, but it's not favoring the people who are not gaining for it.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
Okay. Elaborate.
If you want to attract many people to vote for your own understanding, you can use your own mouth. That's what is happening now in the whole systems of the world.
Mm.
If you are clever alone, you mobilize the people. When you go on top to lead them the way you were speaking about your mind before you come to become a parliamentarian or any leader, it's different. The respect they will give you is not that respect of the before.
Mm.
It's respect of corruption.
Mm-hmm.
You know that.
Okay.
You want to favor your boss, but failing to think that, oh, if I favor this boss, what was I here for?
Mm.
If it's to do this work he gave me and finish and I'm paid and I go, then I will do. Now, the relaxation of sitting on the chair without somebody controlling you, that's self-management when we are employed.
Yeah.
You will find that the work which is done in our government today, the youth are trying outside. But even the one we trained, we sell them. Because it's copy and paste.
Mm.
Have you seen that?
Mm. I'm listening.
Who is not educated today from 16 upward?
Not many.
If he can't control the computer, he was not exposed to it.
Yeah.
Because computers now are cell phones.
Mm.
Even a kid of 2 years or 2 years and a half, he can use the cell phone.
Yes.
Now, if that person can have the mind of concentration on pictures only, and the sounds which are coming outside from there, which the messages which can ring to his mind. Now, what about a person's education? That's what we are saying. The one who is going to have a degree, the one who is going to have a job. It's like you put the people who are going to have degrees, they got to do with themselves and forget others. Because who is going to teach who? If technology itself, it's not words.
Yeah.
You use energy. And your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Calculations is just only support. Mathematics, they are talking mathematics. Who told them that?
Mm-hmm.
If you are in a mathematics field, you have to go up to the standard of algebra.
Mm-hmm.
That is a crooked mathematics. White people intoxicated in us to not to come closer to where they are.
But where are they?
You see, where they are is on the species of the officers where they touch, that they have to come with their own people who cannot even understand your mathematics to be with them, to protect you not to pass that one, because it takes time to repeat a Y, X, Z on the regular understanding of yours. That's why we use the even mathemagic in our time.
Mm.
You know mathemagic?
Mathemagic or mathematics?
The abacus, that one which used to be in the abacus, the time of completion of 5 years old child, he can even control the computer of the sky, like a scan, when the scan started.
Mm.
There was mathematics in 1993 to 1992, 93, 94, 95. When mathematics was just played in Indian story, those things they used to come through India, They go to South Africa, then to us here. Even examinations today when we were writing, unless if you don't understand how to compare, people compared and a master, after mastering that, and they call others that they should do then mathematics.
Mm.
There are a lot of things which happened in the system while we are looking at it, which some of us who are having good mind, of not remind good memory. We got a lot of the sceneries which happened. Through education, through Minister of Works, through Minister of Energy, through different ministries. You see that one. Now, what we advocated too much, people should employ themselves. People, it's just because us top people, we don't know. Eh? Do you understand me? The people on top, they didn't know that type of work that used to happen. You find even a house of NHE, the one which is very expensive as a government entity, for so to say, is the one expensive whereby that house does not belong to you. The time when the government of the past left the houses, there were houses of the government as little as the government was little, which belongs to every human being, even if you are no longer in the system. You go home, you leave that house, the person who will replace you will stay in that house, starting his life there. They made those small houses for the people. Through fighting like that, we have to have the area where the people have to sleep, not to put them in camps. But now the technology is there. Builders are all over this country since independence. Welders are all over this country since independence. But they tell them they will never employ them without the qualification. Now white people employ them, and the white people, they gain more. Those who employ the people, unqualified people, but paid nice money. They build more than the government, which is for everyone who is having, even the useless person who doesn't even see or like or what, the way they used to call themselves. They say the person who is disabled is useless. But it's not useless in other spaces. There is where the space it can be. But they don't like that one. They say everyone should come together. You will find that you are learning in the class with somebody who got no ears, but he got eyes.
Why? Mr. Englishman, please call us back tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Okay, at 1
o'clock. In the afternoon, yes.
In the afternoon, yes. There are a lot of questions, but the things which I needed to query you, because there is a if I give you the email address, you could see certain things which are down there. Yeah, because I queried the Minister of Gender and Minister of Justice. Minister of Justice, the phones are not even ringing. Always they are out.
Yeah.
And they are the key factors of all jails of this country. And then in jails, what is happening is different to cells. The cells are more vulnerable more than anybody. Yeah, because they are dealing with the policemen themselves. But that issue, I read it, and then I wrote that one and emailed it to Minister of Gender about my case, because I was arrested for things of useless. You find your wife with another man who is working for justice, advocate for that matter. And that issue, they wanted to, the policemen, they wanted to say that issue, it is not included in the issue. The person opened the case for me. Then I say, if I caught a person, the person make a case for me to be arrested before that I come to to you. Is it normal for me to call those people? One of the ladies committed suicide the day before yesterday. The police people.
Okay, yeah. Let's take a little
because of revealing the truth. Mm. After I reveal the truth, now the truth is hunting the person. The person has to commit suicide. But he started my life from down the Utapi, following my, doing wrong things on my way, doing, making my house to be bad house.
Mm.
Until he, now he commits suicide. How?
Mm.
Those are the things we say. If you remain untruthful, leadership or understanding of the fears of the people, you will stay suffering in this country because what you do is truth, and then others lie, they benefit. No, I will call.
Okay.
I will do that tomorrow at 1, and then maybe I will share a lot.
Okay.
Thank you, Metria.
Thank you so much, Mr. English.
Sharp, sharp.
Bye.
Beloveds.